Hi, welcome to This Is Your Book Club podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Jamie.
So good to be back. I love it so much. Today is What's on Your Shelf, which I've got so much to talk about.
Yes.
And next week is our book club episode.
It's coming up again so fast.
I know.
Funny how months go by. Days, weeks, months, here we are. Why am I always surprised when it's the end of another month? Because it happens every month.
Right?
And every month I'm like, what?
Seriously.
I'm looking forward to summer, so I'm counting down at this point.
Can we please have summertime?
Yes.
We're getting a little bit of warm weather, but today
it's cold here again.
But I love the rain.
I love the rain too, but it was just so nice to have warmth.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
But a good rainy day is fun too.
But before we get started talking about what's on our shelf, we need our fun fact.
Yes, I'm continuing to read the interview from jaconrath.blogspot.com. So Joe is the name of this interviewer, and he's interviewing Karen, our author, Karen McQuestion, about how she started with her ebooks and self-publishing on Kindle. Doing her ebooks. So the next question he asks is, I'm just going to do this one today because it's a longer answer, but I liked it. How did the film option happen? So her books, just after e-publishing, she got a film option. So she says, ironically, the novel that got optioned, A Scattered Life, almost didn't make it to Kindle. I hadn't looked at the manuscript in years, so when I opened the document file, I wasn't certain what I'd find. I was pleasantly surprised to discover I still loved the characters and the story. So much time had passed that reading it was almost like reading someone else's book. It needed some work, yes, but I still found it touching and funny. I went back and reread the notes the first agent had given me, and she was right. Way too much backstory, something my earlier versions hadn't adequately addressed. I spent about 2 weeks reworking it and uploaded it the beginning of October. A little more than a month later, I got an email from Eric Lake, an LA producer. At first glance, I didn't take it seriously. For one thing, it got routed to my spam folder. Not only that, but the name of the production company is Hiding in Bed, which was part of his email address. It all seemed a little fishy. I would have deleted it, except the subject heading was the title of my book. The email asked for the contact information for the person handling the movie rights for A Scattered Life. I think my heart stopped beating for a few seconds, but once it started up again, I checked with Mr. Google to see if this was a legitimate production company. It was, before responding. I love Mr. Google that she went to Mr. Google for that. Over the next week, Eric and I talked on the phone several times and emailed back and forth as well. Once we agreed on terms, we were able to finalize the deal. I just heard from him recently and the project is on track. There are several more steps before it becomes an actual movie, but I'm hopeful it will happen eventually. So again, this was back in 2001, I think. So this was a long time ago. Who knows where that ever went from that. I'm going to do some research on that and see if it was ever made into a movie. But just, I mean, that's how maybe naive and new she was to this industry that she gets this email and she's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Movie, right? Who are you? How do we do this? Like, she knows nothing. And she is just learning it as she goes. And I love that she took a manuscript that had been rejected before and she had had notes on before. So those rejections, like, you hang on to those and then
there might be something.
You go back to it later and can make it into something.
I love
great
that.
When you're looking at it with fresh eyes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's never a closed book.
There's always. Look at you.
See what I did there? I've been waiting my whole life for that line. Just made it into a cheesy pun.
Okay.
Anyway.
That was good.
Yeah, I just love learning about these authors.
You're a rock star. And she's still writing now. So that interview, so she's been writing for a long time.
It's been a while. Yeah.
I love it.
Right.
That is awesome.
And she's more than just e-publishing now. She's got
a full-on
copies of her books out there. Yeah. You can buy a hardback, paperback.
That is so cool.
It grew from there. But that's where it started, which I think is awesome.
I think that's really awesome.
Good for her.
Indeed.
So.
All right. On to what's on your shelf.
Yes.
What's on your shelf, Jamie?
My shelf has had a couple long reads. I want to start with the book Woman of Troublesome Creek, even though I know you've already talked about it.
Let's talk about it.
I think we should talk about it more because...
Now you have an opinion.
I have something to state here. I have lots of thoughts to state. So you talked about this one and the similarities or similar story of The Giver of Stars and your opinion of the two. So remind them what you thought of what you gave the two different books.
Okay. I gave The Giver of Stars 5 stars.
You loved that
I one. Loved that book.
Okay.
And then I gave The Book Woman of Troublesome Creek 3 stars. And I thought it was kind of boring.
You were a little bored by it. Okay.
I mean, it was a good book. I'm not saying it wasn't a good story. It was a good story. I was just kind of bored.
Okay. So when Giver of Stars came out, I read it right away. I was so excited for that to come out. I love JoJo Moyes. I love her books. I've loved everything she's read. I've really enjoyed. I enjoyed that book, but it was not my favorite of hers. I gave it 3 stars. And at that point, I had heard about The Book Woman of Troublesome Creek being a story along the same lines about these book women, the library book women.
Like a traveling library.
The traveling library, mm-hmm. Yes. And so similar story.
Mm-hmm.
However, so only reading The Giver of Stars, I gave it 3 stars. I liked it. It was good. That's not a bad rating for me.
Sure.
It just, I think my expectations were a little higher.
Okay.
But The Book Woman of Troublesome Creek since then, so like 2 years now, has been on my shelf and I haven't read it. So I finally read it.
Okay.
And I loved it. And I gave it 4 stars. I liked it more than The Giver of Stars. I found it more relatable, more real, more I loved the individual stories of the houses she was going to,
mm-hmm.
and their situations, and just, I really felt like I could really be put in the time.
Okay.
I
did think it was interesting learning about her blue skin.
Yeah.
I think I just wanted, and I said this before, so we don't need to go into my feelings on it, but
I felt
like I wanted more of the traveling library part, but you don't get a ton of that in this one compared to the last one. I feel like the last one, they spent so much time visiting and like doing their route. And this one, not as much. And maybe that's where I was disappointed, because that's my thing. Like, that's like, for me.
Yes, I love that. However, I felt this was more in depth with that.
Hmm.
That's an interesting difference because I felt.
Feeling.
And maybe because it's been 2 years since I've read the other one.
Sure.
Maybe that's where I'm forgetting that a little bit. But I felt like this one, I think this showed a little bit more of the time where she couldn't, like if she, her dad is trying to marry her off and she could no longer have this job if she was married.
Yeah.
She could only have this job if she was not married. And so just to see a piece in the top, a little vision of what it was like to be a woman, mm-hmm. and a woman who wanted to work, loved her job, didn't want to be married, was somewhat okay or had come to terms with the fact that she would never be married.
Yes.
And then the segregation of her being considered a colored person, as opposed to that anybody was treated different, wrong, but she was not she was blue.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's a color.
You're right. It was a color. And so she was treated.
Yeah. But I think even worse.
As horrible as ever.
I think it was even a little worse because she was so isolated.
Because she didn't have anybody else.
Exactly.
She wasn't going to be able to go find somebody else who was blue to marry.
Exactly. I think that's where she was even more persecuted.
Yeah. Yes.
Because she was so different that she was all alone.
She was alone in her color.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I felt like it was so real, like just a little bit more real, where I think The Giver of Stars, I don't want to give away the ending or anything mm-hmm. there, but I just felt like, la, la, la,
another how could you feel that?
Ending like this, or
I did not
is this
feel
realistic,
that way.
Where I felt like this was just a little bit more realistic.
I don't want to give anything away. Yeah. I felt like this still had like a little happily ever after And even that didn't feel as realistic in this story because it was so real. And then all of a sudden there was like this little bow at the end.
I love that our viewpoints on this are so opposite.
I know. So now you guys need to go read it and tell me what you thought.
Yeah.
What do you think? Who do you agree with?
Like if you've read both of them mm-hmm. or go and read both of them.
Yeah.
Let's discuss this.
I would love to.
I want to hear the ins and outs of the comparison of the two. And I do, I almost want to go back and do Give Her Stars again, just so I have a more up to date.
Do you feel like it's a little hazy, the details?
I think maybe a little hazy to do a comparison.
That's true. That's fair.
I mean, I have a good idea of the story, but if I'm going to really compare the two and say which one I liked better, maybe it was too far apart. But yeah. Based off my criteria for rating, mm-hmm. I stand by that. Like, I felt like The Giver of Stars was a little slow, a little boring.
I did not. I loved it.
I gave it 3.
So much. I gave it 5 stars. And this one
got 4. So,
and also, I will say, I read The Giver of Stars.
I did too.
And I think sometimes when I read a book, uh-huh. I'm like, I don't know, I spend more time with it. Because it, you know, it takes me longer to read it.
Absolutely. I agree. It's definitely more.
There's a different experience more of an experience there. Yeah.
You do lose a little sometimes when listening. But then sometimes when listening, when you get a good narrator.
You can really get through it fun and be in.
It's, you're a little bit more immersed.
Attached. I don't know the words. You've got that
visual.
Yeah.
Not the visual, the auditory. It mm-hmm. uses more of your senses, I think.
That's true, too.
I don't know. Tell me what you think. Ooh. There you go. That's the first Ooh. My first one out
Good
today.
Good pick.
I know we've talked about it before, but I thought that was...
I'm glad that we're talking about
just
it
just a
again.
Fun comparison there.
And I will say, I think I said this before, but I think I am the minority. Like, most of my friends that have read that book, I think all of my friends that have read that book really loved it.
And I could be wrong here as well. But I think partly my liking of this one a little more is because... JoJo Moyes has a bigger name, so her story got way more publicity.
You're rooting for the underdog.
Kim Michelle Richardson. So they both had a story based off the same
idea.
Point in history.
Mm-hmm.
Historical fiction here. And mm-hmm. JoJo Moyes overtook. And I don't know if this is true. I've heard that... The book Women of Troublesome Creek came out first.
I think so.
And that The Giver of Stars took the idea and...
I have heard that there's
something going on there. With the two stories. And because of her name, mm-hmm. it made the story go.
But it does make me wonder too. Would as many people be reading the book Women of Troublesome Creek without the Giver of Stars?
It could be she's exactly
like it could be
they're helping each other out.
Yeah, like a promotion thing for her.
I kind of want to know more the history on the timeline and how that works out because it's got to happen that two authors have a similar idea or want to write about something and
yeah,
how does that? Like,
but there's stories about the same topic all over the place.
It's very true.
So, I mean, and the stories aren't the same. I mean,
no, they're not. I mean, there's no plagiarism by all means. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's historical fiction came out similar timing or one just after the other based off of the same point of history and the same story. But their fictional characters were very different
different.
Where they mm-hmm. went with the same
plot source.
Yeah.
Is that the word?
Plot source. Yeah.
The same like
point of origin.
There you go.
Does that work?
That's right. That's what I was
That sounds good.
That's perfect.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. My turn.
Your turn.
My turn. Okay. My first book that I'm going to talk about is Allie and Bee by Katherine Ryan Hyde.
I've not heard of this.
Yes, I've seen it on a couple of things. And so this is one that I came across. It's not at my library.
Oh, you had to buy it?
Yes, but this is one of those deals that like it was like $1. It was like 99 cents for the ebook. And then you could add the audiobook for $1.99.
Perfect.
So I said, yes, I can pay
I can afford
$3
that.
Bucks for an audiobook because that's really what I'm going to do is listen. Anyway, so let me tell you a little bit about it. A little bit of background about Allie and Bea. Bea is an older woman. She's lost her husband. They don't have any children.
Okay.
And she lives in a trailer park, you know, and on a very tight budget.
Okay.
Her and her husband had a little bit of savings, but slowly but surely it is disappearing.
Okay.
But it's not gone yet. She wasn't sure what was going to happen when it went out, but she was just kind of chugging along. She, one day got a call from scam tax collectors saying that she owed back taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting to listen to this back and forth on the telephone of her getting scammed.
Getting scammed.
And like how easy it is.
It's so heartbreaking.
And she just quickly hands over all of her information. And the next thing she knows, and she even realizes the next day, like, how much did they take? Because they never even gave, like,
an amount.
It wasn't very much. I think they did give it. But she was just like, oh, what? How much do I have left? So she calls and checks her account balance, and it's zero.
Oh,
so just like one thing after another, she's like, she's embarrassed to tell anyone, which you would be.
Right.
But you kind of should, so it doesn't happen to someone else.
Right. And there could be something you could do about it.
Yeah. Like you could get, maybe you could get some money back. Like figure this out.
Right.
But she doesn't tell anyone. Instead, she decides that, you know what, she was going to be out of money anyway, and she can't afford any of her bills here at the trailer park. So she's just going to live out of her van and just live off of her Social Security, which didn't even cover her rent anyway. So she's like, I'm going to have to live in my van, and it'll just cover food and gas.
She's just trying to take care of it herself.
Yep.
Just...
She doesn't really have anybody else in her life. She's kind of sad. On her own. Then you learn about Allie, and Allie is a 15-year-old girl who one night wakes up to her parents being arrested because they committed tax fraud. And so they're going to jail, and she has to be put into the foster care system and has a lot of really rough experiences, which mm-hmm. I won't tell you about, but she ends up running away and runs into Bea. So together they decide she's going to help Bea, and Bea's going to help her stay out of the foster care system, and they're going to run off.
They're going to do this together.
Yeah. And it's not like a real hiding from the police thing. It's more just like, well, what do we want to do now? And they just go on this adventure together.
They're just living in a van.
Yeah. And that gets old and boring because you just don't sit in the van all day.
Right.
It was fine when Bea was alone, but it doesn't work for a 15-year-old.
Right.
So they create this adventure that they're going to go on.
I love stories with older people, especially older people with youth.
I know.
It's just, they need to be paired more often.
I agree. It was really cute. I gave it 4 stars.
Oh, that sounds
They
fun.
Have a very unlikely adventure, and I didn't foresee the ending. It was cute.
Yeah.
It was really cute. So I would definitely recommend it. Allie and Bea.
Fantastic. Okay. My next one is Why We Sleep, Unlocking the Power of Sleep and Dreams.
Wow.
Have you heard of this?
No. It sounds very interesting.
So it's been recommended a couple times. I've heard a couple people talking about it. It's by Matthew Walker. And he has a PhD, and he's a neuroscientist and sleep expert. And he just goes through, and it kind of provides an exploration of sleep, examining it, why we need it, what happens during sleep, what happens if we don't get enough sleep, what are the repercussions of that, and what is it that makes us sleep? Just the whole thing, and what our brains do while we're sleeping, what our eyes do while we're sleeping, the different levels of sleep and their meanings of them. And when you don't have it, again, what's the side effect of not getting into this level of sleep or this level of sleep or just not getting enough sleep, period? It is so interesting. And he kind of explains, like, you don't have to read this book from the beginning to the end for it to make sense. Look at a chapter. And if that, you know, the head title, if that chapter is where your interest is, start there.
Oh.
It kind of goes like teenagers and their need for sleep, infants and their need for sleep, what happens when they don't have enough sleep, what happens to adults when they don't have enough sleep. And it talks like the whole section on start time for high school and adolescent secondary schools and students is so fascinating because that's kind of where I am with my kids. They start so early, and that is where sleep issues come. That's when it starts, sleep issues, and that's where we see the beginning of mental health issues, and he correlates them quite a bit. When we don't get enough sleep, it triggers other things, not necessarily that you wouldn't have mental health issues later on, but you see such a spike at that age. And there are other things that play into that, but sleep plays into that heavily, and the importance of sleep, and that our bodies are also different. Our melatonin might set in at a different time, and I might get better sleep at this point of the day, where you get better sleep at this point of the day. And we, can you fake it at other times? Can you make your body sleep better at a typical sleeping hour of 11 p.m. to 6 a.m.? Or do we follow our natural rhythms of sleep and what's better for us? It was so interesting.
Wow. It sounds like a book you want to like have on your shelf.
Yes.
Right? Like you that you
reference it for all something comes up. You're having sleep issues with this. He also talks a lot about how we prescribe, and he's a doctor. He prescribes. He's not against medication, and medication for many things are great, and he's not anti, but he's also not, that's the first step we go to. So he talks about all ages, but also ADHD, and that oftentimes for ADHD, which this is something in my family do, you know, you prescribe this, which then makes their sleep worse. So then you provide this for sleep, and it's a synthetic sleep. It's actually when you use a sleeping pill, it's a synthetic sleep, and he shows studies where you're actually not getting that good, healthy sleep.
It's interesting.
Fake. You feel like you've slept, but your body hasn't actually got to the level of sleep that it needs to be functional and purposeful. And he talks about that drowsy driving is actually riskier than drunk driving.
Oh, really?
Because people don't take it as serious. And people, if they're drowsy, don't often pull over and stop. And there's nobody that says, you're too drowsy to drive, hand me the keys. Like we do when we see a friend who's drunk and take the keys from, you know, there's just not as much of a, this isn't safe. We think we can drive when really we can't. And the number of accidents that are related to drowsy driving are quite a bit higher than actual drunk driving. And so it's not taken as seriously. Super interesting book. It goes some, because sleep affects everything. So there's so many different aspects of the effects of sleep.
Very cool.
Anyway, I gave it 4 stars.
Awesome.
I really enjoyed it.
That's awesome.
Good read if you're interested in that.
Definitely. Cool. Okay. The next book I want to talk about is The Lost for Words Bookshop by Stephanie Butland.
I've read this book.
I saw that you had read this book.
It's been a while, though.
Yeah.
You might have to refresh my memory. Yeah. Okay. I don't think I talked about it on here.
So this book is about a girl named Loveday Cardew. So she has such a funny name. I know. And she kind of, it's a good name for her because she's just a little odd herself. And she works in a bookshop. And she's an adult woman who loves this bookshop because it kind of allows her to be alone with books, right? She's not very social. She doesn't, I don't think she has a lot of trust in people. And so this allows her just the right amount of
interaction with humans. Yes. This is why I want to work at a bookstore.
I know.
I can talk with my kind of people.
Right.
Book people.
Right. All day long.
And then be surrounded by books and the smell of books.
Let's do it.
This is sounding good.
So she, but she does end up meeting someone who at the bookshop who invites her out, and she's kind of on the fence about going. Anyway, it's interesting. And she's dated another person that comes to the bookshop. And you know that she talks about this past interaction and this past dating experience with this person. But you kind of get these flashbacks. And that's kind of how the book goes. Like you've got her where she is now, but you're going to learn about why she is the way she is. You know, things that happened in her childhood, things that happened with in her dating experiences. Mm-hmm. And as she's starting to date a little bit now. Right. And where she's kind of going and the relationships that she has. And I really loved it. I gave it 4 stars. You know me in a bookshop. You've kind of already got my attention.
Right
there. But more than that, I thought she was just, she has some hard things happen to her and how she deals with them and what hard things like kind of turn us into, right?
How it affects us and we become who we are.
Like, I just think we can think where we are this kind of person, right? I'm this way. I'm this person. But then when hard things come, I think it does change us and it can affect us, good or bad.
Yeah.
And it can have us have good side effects and turn us into a better person, or it might damage us a little bit and harm who we are a little bit. Anyway, and I did like the way that that all played out. I don't want to give anything away, but it's
right.
It was fun.
I mean, it's been a while since I read it. I gave it 3 stars. I don't remember the ins and outs of it, but I remember enjoying it and like you said,
yeah.
A bookstore.
I know.
A quirky person that works in a bookstore.
Yep. And her boss is super fun. I loved her boss. He himself was very quirky, but also loved anybody else who was quirky. So obviously a good fit for her, but
yeah,
it was good. It was good.
Yep, I liked it as well. So 3 stars for me as well. That's a fun one.
Awesome.
Okay, my next one is Memorial by Brian Washington.
What's that about?
This one came out in 2020, so last year. And I actually believe this one was on, it was on a lot of lists for last year. I think it was on Barack Obama's list of favorite books of the year.
I've seen this cover before.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure if that's where I saw it originally or why I put it on my list. But it was interesting because I listened to this book this last week, which was spring break for my area and my kids. And so we were in Houston. And not even knowing, this book takes place in Houston.
Oh.
And it was interesting being there. I've been to Houston. My sister lives there. So I've been there quite a few times. I don't know my way around Houston very well, but I know like the main roads. And so they talk about driving around in Houston and we go down this street. And I'm like, I know Allen Parkway. I know. So anyway, they would say it and
you felt like
I was there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Going around town as I'm listening to it. And it was just such a random place to be when this became available.
Yeah.
On my library hold and put me right on the streets there. So the story is about a kid Benson and a kid Mike. They're two guys that live together. They live in Houston. One of them is a Japanese American and the other one is he works in a daycare and he's black. And so it's their relationship with each other. It's a gay relationship. How their families responded to that, kind of flashback to their lives and how their families accept them or not accept them, or issues also from families not related to that, but related to race as well. Them being in a mixed racial relationship and kind of coming of age. They're fairly, I mean, I think they're in their 20s in here and they're still growing up and they're things that they love about each other, but like in all relationships, things are getting stale or maybe like, is this it, or is there more out there? And they're both dealing with relationships with parents that aren't great and working through those things. And I like that it hit on racial issue. I mean, very relatable.
Yeah.
I mean, very real. These are things that are going on in our country. Racism, discrimination on multiple parts, and growing up without a lot, poor, growing up with a lot, and then what we do with it and where we go from there. Growing out of where our parents were, trying to figure out where we're going to go and what we're going to do. Very time of your life when you could go in multiple directions and figuring out what you need for you and what the rest of your life is going to look like and what relationships are worth fixing and what relationships were good for a point and now you need to move on from. So that's okay. Kind of on all fronts, family, personal relationships, all of them. So I gave it 3 stars. I do think it was a little slow and not, I mean, it, I don't want to say flat. There just wasn't like a, ooh, like what's going to happen? You know, there was no gripping.
Right.
It was the telling of a story and it's, this is real life. This is happening in America. This is going on. But I didn't find myself like it was easy to put down and then pick back up and go on with. Not that it was a bad story.
Sure.
It just wasn't one of those gripping ones that I couldn't put down.
Sure.
I think some important issues to focus on. But that's where I put it. So 3 stars. Awesome. Worth a read.
Okay.
And fun that I was there when I read it. That was a, I know, that was a really fun part about it. And, you know, the characters are very believable, interesting, funny in a way and not funny in a way and all over the place.
Right.
But yeah, I enjoyed it.
Awesome.
So there's that.
I love it. All right. Very good. My next book that I want to talk about is The Lighthouse by Jesse Newton. This is another one that I purchased for $1.99.
Look at you.
I know.
Finding the deals.
Thank you, BookBub. This book, I'll give you a little bit of background. And really, if there's a lighthouse, what I need is a beach bookstore. And then I found the perfect book.
There you go.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. And can I say, just speaking of lighthouses, I'd love to go take a tour of a lighthouse.
Right? I'm such a nerd
when it comes to that. Okay. I haven't been to very many, but every time we go to San Diego, we go down to, I can't even think of the name of it, but there's a lighthouse there. We've been to a couple times. I'm just mesmerized by the technology that's what they based boats coming in and out of and all those little glass things and the staircases in it and that somebody lived there. Like, it wasn't just a job you went to and came home, but you lived at the lighthouse and cared for.
You had to be there all the time.
I'm just kind of a nerd when it comes to lighthouses. I think
it's fascinating.
I do, too. So, you got me at a book... Is there a bookstore in this book, too?
No.
Okay.
So I was going to say,
that's the perfect beach bookstore and a lighthouse.
No, this had a lighthouse. All the things
I
didn't know
I needed right there.
This story takes place on Five Island Cove, which is kind of by Nantucket up there, you know, Martha's.
This is your area.
Yeah, I know.
You love this
area. I've never been there. How is that possible?
You got to get yourself there.
I know. So it's kind of like up by Martha's Vineyard, those islands.
Okay.
And there's 5 friends that grew up there together and were best friends, but have since, of course, life takes you in different directions. And so they are not really in great touch. Only one remains on the island. And when they were growing up, it sounds a lot like the Girl Scouts, but it wasn't.
Okay. Some kind of a troop type thing.
Yeah. And I think they learned how to be seafaring women.
Ah. Okay. Yes.
And they had like a leader and it was a woman on the island. And she did it for a lot of years. And so she was like their leader. So she was very close with the girls. Okay. She was like their mentor and they loved her. Uh-huh. And she helped them through a lot of things that they went through in their youth. This woman's husband passes away and she's a lighthouse keeper. That's what they did.
That's what
her and her husband. Okay. I mean, they had other side jobs as well, but they lived at and took care of the lighthouse. And her husband passes away at the very beginning. And so the one girl who remained on the island decides that they need to come back and rally around this leader of theirs and support her during this hard time. And so she decides it's her on a mission. She's on a mission to get them all back. So, you know, she coaxes all the girls and they come back to support this woman. And they don't all love her husband. It's interesting, the different experiences. And you find out, you know, who he was to each of the girls. And he wasn't always great. And how his wife didn't know it, but how great she was to these girls, even though he hurt them in different ways.
Okay.
And sometimes they didn't even realize it until, like, things start coming out about him.
Okay.
Now that he's passed.
Now that he's gone.
Okay.
And she didn't know about
it. She didn't know. So it's very, and then how they all deal with
how
it
can
and
we
how they
ever
support
trust
each
people.
Other.
That's
I
what
know.
This, like, oh, that's one of my issues in life is trust.
I know.
And then you hear stories like this and you're like, how can you live with someone?
I know.
And not have any idea.
And not know. And it is. It's very interesting. And it also makes me go, okay, so they made these bad choices. Well, what are you going to do about it? Like, how are you going to handle these realizations? And, you know, what are you going to do? And that's kind of what you watch these women kind of, how it affects their lives, these new truths. Some are old truths that are coming out. Some are new realizations and how they let it affect them and the choices that they make moving forward. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly about friendship, you know, and a sisterhood. I mean, it's a friendship, but it's a, you know, they're close.
Yeah.
And what we do for each other and like what's most important. Like, I love these kinds of books. I know I keep talking about this, but it's like, what are you doing and what are you making the most important priority in your life? And is that really important? Or is there something else that would make you more peaceful, more happy, more...
Where is it really worth putting?
Yeah. Like, what are you sacrificing for this lifestyle? Is it worth that sacrifice? Could you have more without it? Anyway.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So it's just kind of, it's just fun. It was light and it was... But it was really interesting. I mean, it just kept coming and coming, all the spins and turns with all these five different friends. And they're like our time of life.
Yeah.
Right? So I love that too. I gave it 4 stars.
Lovely.
And I'd say check it out.
Okay.
The Lighthouse.
Awesome. Okay, here, this is my surprise book for this episode.
Okay.
Like I said, I was in Houston last week. I love to buy a book at the airport when I go on a trip and read it.
Sweet.
On my vacation.
It's the best.
So this is, I'm in the bookshop at the airport looking at all the books and I've read so many of them. I'm like, what am I going to get? And I didn't have a lot of time. So I just kind of I judged a book by its cover and title
and
just went. So I knew nothing of this book when I got it.
Okay.
This book is called Redhead by the Side of the Road by Anne Tyler.
What?
I looked up Anne Tyler. She's got a lot of books.
Okay.
I have not read any of her books. This book came out April of 2020, so last year. And it's a quick read. It's not a very long book. It didn't take me very long to read. I actually read the book, like physical book. So that was enjoyable. And I gave it 4 stars.
Oh, my.
It was just... one of those, like, I mean, it was an easy read, likable characters, feel good book. It was just great. The main character, his name's Micah. I want to say he's like in his late 30s. And he's, I'd say, a quirky guy. Have you read The Rosie Project?
No.
Oh, man. Get on that one.
I know.
Right?
No, I have read The Rosie Project. I'm thinking of another one.
Okay.
Okay, go on.
Okay. Anyway, he kind of reminds me of the main character of The Rosie Project.
Yes.
He's got some quirks.
It's so cute. Yes.
I love The Rosie Project.
Mm-hmm.
It has a couple other books after it, this series. But Micah is... he's really set. He's got his routine. He's very set in his way. He does things a certain way. On this day, he cleans the kitchen. On this day, he mops the kitchen floor. This day is that. I wake up at this time. I go for a run. I make this breakfast. It's all very routine and predictable.
Okay.
He likes things that way. He likes to know what his day is going to look like, and he likes to keep it a certain way. He's had girlfriends, and they haven't worked out, and he moves on. And he, in this book, has a girlfriend, and he it's just going through what a day in the life of his life is. And then he is thrown one day at the beginning of the book, one day this kid, this young adult, just in college, shows up at his doorstep and is like, "Hey, I think you're my father." And he's like, "There's no way I'm your father." That's at the beginning. So I'm not giving anything out with that. But so this kid just is like, all of a sudden in his life, and it kind of just sets off some other things. Like,
okay,
this is so out of routine, so unexpected. And the kid doesn't just then leave. He keeps popping back up, and he's just throwing this guy for a loop. And so Micah just, of all other things, it's throwing off all things in his life. So many things are starting to seemingly fall apart.
Like a ripple effect.
Yeah. And he's trying to look at all of them like, "Hey, what's going on here? I've got to keep things in order to get them back flowing like they're supposed to be."
Right.
And that's not working.
Shoot.
So he has to, he's processing all this, and he's got a funny family that is in the mix here that he's, you know, that are involved in what's going on. And it's endearing. It's heartwarming. It's a nice short read.
Awesome.
4 stars.
Oh, that's the best kind of book to pick up at the airport.
When you're just totally taking a chance on a book, to just have a nice...
and enjoy it.
It was a perfect vacation book.
Awesome.
Perfect.
So great.
Yes. Loved it.
Very cool. Okay. My last one. My last book is This Time Next Year by Sophie.
I can see this Cousins. Cover.
Can you?
Okay, wait. Say that name again.
I think it's Sophie Cousins, but Cousins.
Okay.
The cover on our library is different than this.
Oh.
FYI.
FYI. Okay.
This book is rom-com.
I love a good rom-com.
I know. I'm really taking them light these days, and I'm loving it. I'm like breezing through these books, and I'm so happy every day listening to them. It's the story of there's a guy and a girl, and they are...
It's the story of a girl. Sorry, that just popped into my head based off
perfect.
That.
Perfect. Keep it coming.
Sorry to interrupt.
Continue. They're born on the same day in... the same hospital. Their mothers like are in labor together.
Do they know each other? Or are they just randomly both at the same time? Okay.
So it's one of those, like, it's like the 1990 and the newspaper has an award for the first baby born of the year in the city. Okay.
Like, and there's not enough pressure while giving birth. We got to be the first baby of the year.
Right? So these two women are both laboring at the same time. And you watch the one woman is really struggling. She's been in labor for 2 days. She cannot figure this out. She's just really having a hard time. This other woman's like, "I've done this before. I know how to do this." And so she's watching this woman suffer. So after a little while, she kind of jumps in and she's like, "You are breathing all wrong. This is what you need to be doing." So she talks to her and takes her mind off of it. And she teaches her how to breathe and how to push. And in her efforts to get her mind off of labor, she's like, "Well, tell me about your husband. Where's your husband? You know, what are you going to name your baby?" And all these different things. And she finds out that this woman is here all alone, and because she sent her husband off to get some sleep. He needed some sleep. And they didn't really know what they were going to name the baby. And so she's just is like all over the place.
Yeah.
Okay. And so then this other woman who's like, got it all figured out. She's like, "Well, I'll tell you, I'm naming my child Quinn, whether it's a boy or a girl, I'm naming it Quinn. And because my grandmother always told me that everyone named Quinn was lucky. Hmm. And all good things come to these people named Quinn. And so I'm going to have a Quinn. My child's going to be named Quinn." So they both start crowning at the same time. So they rush him into different rooms to deliver. And the woman who didn't know anything that she was doing, that was having a really hard time, has a baby 1 minute before the woman who did have it. And of course, the woman who earned the money by having the baby first has lots of money and doesn't need any money. And the money, people who didn't have the baby fast enough needed the money and could have used the money.
Okay.
Well, they don't ever see each other again. They're separated and in private rooms after that. And they go home from the hospital and whatever. But the one who got the money was, you know, she was in the newspaper. They reported her all over the place. And she named her baby Quinn. She had a boy named Quinn.
Okay.
And so this woman is like, what? And she's so exhausted. She had a baby and she doesn't even know. And the husband's like, we can't name the baby Quinn now. Everyone will think we named it after them.
Yeah.
Because he's all over the news.
Right.
And that's weird. We had to come up with a different name. And so he decides in her delirium, she's just like, can't even process. So the husband just starts calling the baby Millie or Minnie. Just starts calling the baby Minnie. And it just ends up sticking because she's so flustered about this that she doesn't know what to do. And their last name is Cooper. So the baby's name is Minnie Cooper. So
you can change a name just because you named a baby that originally and you come out of your stupor.
You could.
Your Minnie Cooper can change. Doesn't have to.
So that's all happens right at the very beginning. Okay. And so it just sets the stage and the mother never lets Minnie forget it, that she was supposed to be lucky, but she wasn't. And now she's Minnie. And Minnies are obviously the most unlucky. Because now look at all these things. She didn't win the money.
The money.
She has this weird name now that everyone makes fun of. And this other kid is out there with all of her luck.
With all her luck and her name and her money.
Yeah. So
awful.
Every year on her birthday, now it's New Year's Day, right, is her birthday. And New Year's Eve, really. She has something bad. Something goes wrong every year. She hates her birthday. She just has awful luck. And it's all out of her control. It's just... like the world, what is the fate?
Yeah.
You know, it's just all interceding.
She can't control any of it.
Right. It's just and how so now she's an adult. And then you go, you know, speed ahead to an adult and she meets Quinn, the Quinn at a New Year's Eve party after she gets locked in a bathroom.
And it's both of their birthdays.
It's both of their birthdays. And he's got all the money and he's doing well in life. And so she's like, you, and she hates him already. Yeah. And so it's just, they have these continual run-ins and you...
This can be made into a movie. I can see it right now.
It was super cute.
And who would we put in it?
I don't know.
Let's come up with a cast. I'm going to think about it and get back with you.
Right? Because it was
fun. And then I'll share my ideas with Hollywood because they'll want to know what I would do.
I know.
Right.
It was cute. It's just total rom-com. And it's, you know, what you perceive to be the truth maybe isn't all true. Maybe his life isn't as easy as you think it is.
It might look one way, but you really don't know. And maybe her life
isn't as bad as she thinks it is. That kind of a thing. And then you wonder, like, will they end up figuring out their feud?
Things.
Yeah. It was good.
Dun, dun, dun.
I liked it. I gave it 4 stars. It was an easy, fun, you need a brain break, you go read this rom-com.
Just an easy, enjoyable book.
Totally.
Love it.
For its category, it was great.
Great. I love it.
There you go.
Okay, so next week, book club. If you haven't started reading,
get on it.
Get on it.
So excited. I'm starting soon.
Yes. And
can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah.
Please interact with us. We love hearing from you on Instagram and Facebook. Comment, message us.
You can email us at thisisyourbookclubpodcast@gmail.com.
Absolutely.
Love to hear from you. Remember to follow us, like, subscribe, share. We really appreciate
you. Spread the word.
Spreading the love. So thank you.
If you love us, maybe somebody else will.
Yeah. That helps us out a lot. We appreciate it. Thank you, listeners. We love it, love it, love it.
And we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Right? We're there.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Jamie.
And this is your book club.